Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
Let us read some scripture. We're going from verse 1. And so welcome. If you're a visitor, it's really great to see you. Don't rush off unless you have to. At the end, please make yourself known to us. We're looking at the book of 2 Timothy. Paul is in prison in Rome. And he's basically not just in prison, he's on death row. And he has something incredibly precious to pass on. If you wrote your last words to people, what would they be? Paul considers the gospel, the good news about Jesus, the most important thing to pass on. And he is inspiring Timothy to keep hold of this gospel flame in the face of incredible persecution. There's an emperor called Nero who's using Christians to light up his garden parties. It's not a great time, an easy time to be a Christian in AD 64. And so as Paul sits in a dark cell with no comforts at all, he writes to his dear son, as it were, in the Lord, Timothy. And he writes this, first 12 verses, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience. As night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, what I've just said, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, mind, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death, hallelujah, and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am, yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? Shall we pray together and see what the Lord has to say to us through his amazing word? Thank you, Lord God, that we can gather here. We have a notice sheet where we can pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We particularly lift up Frank and Manoa, who are still in the hospital at the Walsgrave. We pray, Lord God, that you would be with them. We thank you that they seem to be on a good trajectory. But, Lord, we thank you so much for the NHS that we have the privilege of having in this country. Would you forever make us grateful? Could we pray for our public servants, those in the police and fire service and ambulance and NHS and others too, that we often take for granted? Lord, we thank you for them. So we pray, Lord God, for Frank and for Manoa, that you bring your swift healing, that, Lord, not only in their physical bodies, but in their mind, as they had this setback, as it were. We pray for others who've not been with us for a while due to falls or illness. Lord, we think of Bert, Preston, and we think of Betty Bearwood too. We're amazed, Lord, how they worship and serve you in their good age. But Lord, we pray, Holy Spirit, that right now you'd be their paraclete, you'd be their comforter. They would know we're praying for them. We think of Anne Watkins, who is very ill. We pray for Anne and Ian that you would be everything they need in these days, that they might look to you. Thank you that they love you, that they've walked a faith journey with you. So in these days, might they know a special blessing, a special comfort from you. Anoint our time together. We just pray, Lord, that you remove the barriers, be that our coldness, be that over-familiarity. Would you take away deja vu and speak to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, Manoah should be in a few more days. They love visitors, so do. But Manoah was on Ward 1, Frank was on Ward 21. Amazing spirit, Mercy's here, who's also amazing. It's just been a blessing, actually, observing their suffering. Their suffering isn't for my blessing, but it's just amazing to see how people cope with that. It's great to see Harold today. Thank you. It's welcome. It's lovely to see you again, Harold, in this new facility that the Lord's blessed us with. This week, I know we're still working on the sound. I'm so grateful for all the teams that are getting stressed out, our musicians and sound people, every week. This week we have scaffolding coming in to do things with the walls and all sorts of things. So thank you, really. I appreciate all of the team who try and make our gathered experience the best it can be. Thank you for your patience in listening to us. I wonder if there's anyone here who's ever felt like giving up following Jesus. It's just been a bit hard. No one? Okay, Josh, you have good, Lindsay, great. Okay. Oh, I think actually, most of us, whether it's giving up completely or just, I'm not sure what this is about. The Christian life, I honestly feel when we truly follow Jesus Christ, it's tough. So in some ways, if it's easy, it worries me. Because Jesus says, you will be persecuted if you follow me. And I want to encourage all of us today, if you forget everything, to keep going. You remember those two words? Keep going. We're starting our new series. There's two messages online, the introduction, and then the first five verses that we covered last week. And it's called Receive, Practice, and Share, because this whole series is designed to encourage us to not only be a people who receive all the blessings. I love that. We receive forgiveness initially when we come to Christ, come to the cross. Many of you have a story of when you came to Christ. It's a wonderful story. But also, we want to be a people who then practice. That changes what we do. As the Holy Spirit and the truth of God's word come into our lives, it is designed, and supernaturally by the Spirit of God, to change us. And then we're called to carry on the legacy with others. And so we're called to not only receive and practice, but to share. Who is it we're looking out for to encourage to be a Christ follower themselves? That's very important. And we've said over the last couple of weeks that we have the privilege of two things. If you're a Christ follower today, and I'm not going to assume you are, but keep listening wherever you stand today. If you're a Christ follower today, we have the privilege of two general things. God, in his covenant initiative, by his promises, in his covenant initiative, he has called us to be part of a people. He doesn't call us simply to individual salvation. You know, it's just Jesus and me. He calls us to be also, as well as our individual response to the gospel of the cross, he calls us to be part of a people. And that can be a struggle for many people, because we're all very odd. Speak for yourself, Keith. It's true. It's not easy. We probably mix with people in church. It's better to leave it there. I think we can kind of bring it round at the end of the service. I'll tune it for you, Rachel, if we need to. Okay, but I know you can. But he's called us to be in his covenant people. So that's really special. But then, side by side with that, you can see on the screen also that he also, as well as bringing us into being one of his people, he calls us to demonstrate subsequently our allegiance. Paul says, you are no longer your own. You have been bought at a price. So when we come to Jesus Christ and say, thank you for forgiving me because of the cross, equally, we are then stepping into a relationship where we have a new boss. It is no longer ourselves or even the boss at work, thankfully. We have a new boss. And so two things that we have the privilege of is that we're called into God's covenant people, and then we're called to demonstrate our allegiance to our new boss. As citizens of a new kingdom, we have a new king. King Jesus. That's what we've been saying over the last couple of weeks. And we've been saying that what I'd love to do, and this is a DNA change, it's a culture change of a church and a group. It could take a long time in you individually or in us as a church. It's hard to get a signature as a church. And so I'd love to get to the point where we feel comfortable enough where you can come up to me and say, Keith, how are you receiving? What's your receiving going like? How is that? And I might say, do you know what? I'm really struggling to get into God's word each day. I'm really struggling to hear from God. I'm really struggling. Oh, Keith, how is that changing your practice? What are you reading at the moment? Oh, I'm reading 2 Timothy. Oh, it's a great book. I know exactly what happened to Paul, exactly what happened to Timothy. Okay. So how is that changing you? I'd love you to be comfortable enough with me to do that. Because that's a challenging question. And I'd love you to be comfortable enough for me to say, and what are you reading? And how is that changing you? And then maybe I'd love us to be really comfortable to say, so who is it? How might I share that? How could we multiply, not only as a congregation gathered? Because I've got to say I'm not too interested in that. That might happen. How can we multiply Christ followers, wherever they serve? How can I encourage people in my workplace, in the staff room, in the university, or wherever I am, to be mature followers of Jesus Christ? And if the series does that, and it'll take a lot more than a series, 13 weeks in 2 Timothy, we'll be in good shape. So that's kind of where we're heading. So what we said last week is, before Paul started speaking into Timothy's life like that, that's quite an intimate way. Who would find that quite an intimate conversation? It is, isn't it? It's much easier to talk about, hey, are you on the music rota next week? How did the group go? You know, how's the job going? And they're good questions because it's life and we should pray for each other's jobs and work and be interested, not just in church. But actually to get to the deeper stuff takes a real challenge. And I've just got to know that, you know, you can say whatever you want to me. And it means you do it out of the best heart. And Paul had prepared this such a relationship with Timothy. So we said last week, as we catch up to today, Paul was confident of two things. He knew his own position in the Lord, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. I know my calling on my life. I know who I am in Christ. And so Paul was confident enough in himself. He had his own oxygen mask on first before he tried to help other people. And secondly, it was built on relationship, we said last week, to Timothy, someone I met at a conference about 10 years ago. No, to Timothy, my dear son, someone I've invested in, someone I'm going to leave soon, someone I remember you cried last time I left you because you knew what was going to happen. To Timothy, my dear son, good disciple making is built on an assurance of our salvation first in Christ. And the fact that I love you enough to spend a lot of time with you. And that means simply by default, we cannot do that with everyone in this room. We need the Spirit's wisdom to say, who is it, Lord? We can love everyone, but I can invest in a few. Do you see what I'm saying in that one? So I'm not employed here to invest in all of you. And that might disappoint you. But I might be employed to equip a few people to invest in others, who invest in others, who invest in others. So we're all invested in. Do we understand what we're saying here. It's about God has given to the church, Paul says in Ephesians 4, pastors and teachers, apostles, prophets, evangelists, to be paid so they invest in everybody, to equip God's people for works of service, so that they might grow into maturity in Christ. Good evangelists teach other people to be good evangelists. Good prophets, good apostles, whichever way you look at that sort of thing, they teach others to do the same. It's not just about me being paid to do that. And so we move on today. And so what we could say today is what's Paul said in the first five verses. Timothy, you have an amazing platform of faith. What a legacy you've had, Timothy. Your grandmother Lois, your mother Eunice were believers, women of God. They invested in you. And when I came to Lystra, Timothy came to Christ under Paul's ministry in Acts 14. Paul in his first missionary journey goes to Lystra. And whilst it doesn't state it there, by the time he gets to his second missionary journey in Acts 16, Timothy is joining. He gets to Lystra, Timothy joins Paul. So Timothy was from Lystra. His father was Greek. And his mum was a Jew and God-fearing, just like her mum, Lois. And so the seed bed was ready for Paul. Paul preaches on his first missionary journey. Timothy comes to Christ. And then when he comes back later on, Timothy is joined up. It's a wonderful story. And Paul says, Timothy, you have an incredible legacy of receiving from your grandmother, from your mother. I came on my first missionary journey. I've seen the seed of faith spring up. It also lives in you now. And so now, Timothy, what today is called, I've entitled our next six verses, Timothy, put it into practice. You have a great legacy, Timothy, of everything in the past, but now you've got to start using that and put it into practice. I know many believers who struggle to know their place amongst God's people. They've received, and they often, when they speak about their faith, it's past tense. I remember when I was baptized. I remember when I came to Christ. I remember when. We serve a God of the now. If you're sat here today thinking, I don't feel used, I don't feel having a purpose, I want to encourage you today to fan into flame the gift of God. And so what we see here, Paul says, Timothy, you've got a great legacy, so you need to practice now. That has to change what you do. And so we see in verse 6, Paul gives Timothy a reason to serve. He says, for this reason. Think about where all this began, Timothy. He says right there, it's in your Bible as well. For this reason, for the reason of your amazing legacy, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Fan into flame. You've got a great legacy of faith, Timothy. Don't sit on your faith. Don't sit on your own story. Get out there. Start saying, Lord, I've got a gift. Every single person in the body of Christ is given a gift by the Spirit of God. What is yours? There's a whole array of gifts. It doesn't always involve the platform. We're encouraged in Scripture to keep going so many times. I asked at the beginning, is anyone struggling to keep going? What about Hebrews 12? That is what the first ever passage I ever spoke on a number of years ago. Keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We're so encouraged to keep serving. What about Caleb in Joshua 14? Wow. Do you remember? Let me read it to you. Joshua 14 verse 10. Here's Caleb. Now then, says Caleb, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive. So here I am today. Listen to this. 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to the battle now as I was then. 85. Bring it on, says Caleb. I'm practicing still at 85 years old what the Lord's promises have said. Where are the Calebs today? Can I just very gently say to you, in the best way I possibly can, that this is not a retirement village with an expanding seating capacity. No, it isn't. But this is an equipping center with an increasing sending capacity. Can I say that again? This is not a retirement village with an increasing, expanding seating capacity. This is an equipping center with an increasing sending capacity. If you're 85 or more, bring it on. There's work to do. God's not finished you. He's not retired you out yet. And I see the experience of people that are sat on the way to Amen, says Barry. What a servant that man is. You're not 85 though, Barry. You're not yet, sir. Timothy, all that receiving has been for a reason. For this reason, Timothy, I plead with you, fan into flame. Don't sit on it. Satan wants to say, Timothy, you're too timid. Timothy, you get sick too often. Timothy, you're too shy. Timothy, you're too young. Paul says, no. Fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. We are saved for a purpose, Timothy. Keep practicing. But it's hard. It's hard, Paul. I just shy away from crowds. Timothy was just timid. Timothy. I want to, but I die a thousand deaths. How do I do that? How do I even begin to step in what I think God is saying to me? It's just. So we see in 7 and 8 the power to serve in verses 7 to 8, the power to serve. We've had the reason to serve, Timothy. I'm going to show you about the power to serve. It's no point just having a reason. You need to have the power to serve. This is not some self-help class. Come on, all those guys, let's really start serving now. This is not a self-help class. This is not a leadership or some leadership seminar or summit on how to be great and how to motivate yourself and others. We see in verse 7, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. This is not about willing ourselves to serve God better. I must try harder. I now feel guilty. I'm not serving. Guilt has no place in the kingdom of God. Jesus has got rid of that at the cross. This is about knowing the source of our power to keep going when it's hard at work, when it's hard in our family, when it's hard in the church, whatever it might be. It's just always going to be hard. Could we kind of make that our norm? And Paul mentions, did you see it? There's three ways in verse 7 that the Spirit equips us to serve. I'll be brief on this. He says, Timothy, you're not going to do this in your own strength. But you need the Spirit who enables you to serve. And it's the Spirit who gives you power, love, and self-control. Can you imagine tomorrow morning going into your workplace, going into your university, going into your home, whatever it might be, your context, with the Spirit's power, love, and self-discipline? What does the Spirit's power look like? Well, it's the Spirit's power to do things beyond ourselves. You see, if it's within my capacity, because I've done this for 30 years, that's not the Spirit's power. It's doing church. It's a very different thing. If I'm singing here or playing or leading worship because I always do it and people like my voice, that's not the Spirit's power. That's doing church. Spirit's power is, I don't know if I can do this, Lord. This is way beyond me. Wow, you're amazing at the end of that. Wow, Lord. How on earth did you, Holy Spirit, use me like that? Power to do things beyond ourselves. Paul says, Timothy, you need to understand. You need to put this into practice, fan it into flame, but it's the Spirit who will give you power. You know, it's William Carey who said this, I've quoted it recently, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. It's the Spirit's power that we need. But also, Timothy, the Spirit will give you love. Well, as long as I've got his power, do I need his love? Too right. Do you need the Spirit's love in you to like me, to love me? Yeah, you do. Some of you do. Some of you really need it. But we're all right. It's a grown-up conversation. I'm cool, by the way. One of my favorite early choruses was this. I love you with the love of the Lord. Do you remember that song? Anyone remember that one? I love you with the love of the Lord. Barry remembers it. You, come on, does anyone else remember? I love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. Sometimes it's the only love we can love each other with, isn't it? Because my love dries out. My love is empty. And Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, you need to go forward in the Spirit's power to do things that are way beyond yourself, and go forward in the Spirit's love so you can love the unlovable who don't deserve love. Just like when he first loved you. Whenever I'm making a judgment about what someone doesn't deserve, I need to think about my view in Christ's eyes. He looks at me with that Christ gaze. And we need to project that and look at others with a Christ-tinted spectacles and say, they don't deserve this, but hey, his gaze is on me while I gaze upon you. So I love you, and I'm going to still work hard, even if you're hard work. That's a supernatural love. Loving someone who likes me isn't supernatural love. That's easy to talk to people who are friendly. But you know, you've also got self-discipline, Timothy, because why would you need self-discipline? Because you need focus. And the enemy comes in and he will distract you from your purpose. If I was the enemy, and I wouldn't be very great at that, if I was Satan and you're a Christ follower, I would try everything. One of the early things I'd do is stop you reading God's word, because that will disarm you right away. I'd stop you praying too, distract you with busyness, even in church. Timothy, the Spirit gives you this power to do things beyond yourself, gives you a love to love way beyond what your capacity to love, but also gives you a self-discipline to keep going when things don't swing your way and when things are tough. That's what the Spirit does. If I'm going to quit, I need the Spirit's power and love and self-discipline. And what that means sometimes, just for a while, it means taking the focus off me. Me, myself, and I. I find that a fascinating subject. I don't know about you. And so Paul says, Timothy, I know you might be feeling a bit vulnerable at this time, but in verse 8, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord Jesus or of me, his prisoner. Join with me in suffering for the gospel. You know, this was hard for Timothy. Timothy and Paul were living in what you'd call an honor and shame society. Honor and shame was something to be traded. I won't go into detail of all that at this time, but it was very public and you could trade honor and shame. My standing was important. There's only a limited amount to go around in a group. So if I get honor, someone loses it. If I get shame, someone else loses that and gets some honor. And so to be a Christian in the time of Nero was not a great thing to be. It wasn't an honorable thing to be in the world's eyes. If you're in a culture of honor and shame, that's your currency which drives your social interaction. Paul's in prison. Christ Jesus has been crucified. Timothy, don't be ashamed. In an honor and shame culture, we don't understand it if we're not in one, by the way. We don't understand it. We can learn about it, but we don't really understand it. Unless you are in an honor and shame culture today, you'll understand. Timothy's feeling, oh no, Christ has been crucified, Paul's about to die, and I've got the baton. It's going to be difficult for me to stand up really and exercise my gift. Timothy, don't you dare fall into flame the gift that God has given you by the Spirit of God, who gives you power, who gives you love, and gives you self-discipline, and make sure that you're not ashamed, because it's not about you. Wouldn't it be great if a church was full of people where it wasn't about them? My comfort on a seat, my lighting, my facility. Wouldn't it be amazing to be in a place where it is about Jesus and sharing and just my passion for being who I am in Christ? You see, serving Christ often calls us to swim against the tide. Let's bring it into our context. It might not be honor and shame for all of us. But serving Christ, Timothy, us, calls us to swim against the tide of opinion in our schools, in our universities, in our workplaces, in our communities, when people are accepting all kinds of ways of doing things. There are consequences of being a Christ follower. And we need to identify with that. So rather join with me, rather than being ashamed and backing out, Timothy, of the race. Join with me in suffering for the gospel. There's an invitation, isn't there? I wonder if we put that on many of our invites to the church. Come to church, follow Christ, and join with us in suffering for the gospel. I'm sure the marketing committee would say, oh, no, no, no. Let's say we've got the ladies' worship leader on the platform instead. We'll get more people in. That's what usually happens. Disgrace. I like good worship, by the way. It's hard to swim against the tide. It's hard to be the minority. Yes, it is in our own strength. So Timothy fell into flame through the Spirit's power. Then he can stand and be unashamed of the gospel in the Spirit's power. Then he can speak up in the Spirit's power. Then he can love that really awful person in the office in the Spirit's power. And then you can do this in the Spirit's power, but not on your own. Because Timothy, just like me, you're frail. And just in case you forgot where the power came from in the last part of verse 8, rather join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. I want to repeat it and sandwich the whole exhortation and encouragement in the power of God. Do you know that? From verse 7, the end of it, beginning of verse 7, end of 8, the whole encouragement to Timothy sandwiches in the Spirit and the power of God. Let's go out tomorrow and today, that sandwich of the Spirit's power surrounding us, keeping us, strengthening us. It's a wonderful thing. I need more of that. You see, we may have a great legacy of receiving. We may have well experienced the power of God when we came to Christ first time. We would have done, even if we didn't know it, because only the power of God can change a soul. Maybe we felt his power when we were first convicted of our sin and rebellion, those things that dishonored the Lord, and we knew we had to fall at his feet at the cross. Maybe we felt his embracing love at an emotional song. But we need to move our receiving. I need to move my receiving regularly into practice. It's got to change me. But that needs power too, continual filling. Power to do things. Let me summarize that bit. Power to do things beyond ourselves. Power to love like he first loved us. Power to keep going when it's tough. Power to swim against the tide of public opinion. Power to suffer the consequences of publicly declaring our allegiance to Christ. Every one of those situations needs power, without a doubt. We have a reason to serve. Timothy, you do. All that receiving. Wow, how many of you have been receiving here? 30, 40, 50, 60? How many people have been a Christ since you were young? That's wonderful legacy. Can I honor you and say what a fantastic legacy? And I know many people do practice and serve. This is a continual filling, a continuing exhortation. We have the power to serve, the Spirit who enables us. So we need to remind each other, and I'll just bring this down, the message today, about our calling to serve. Every one of us has a calling to serve in the last few verses. And Paul gloriously encourages Timothy and says, Timothy, do you know why you should serve? You have a reason to serve. God has given you the power to serve. But you know what? You have a purpose and a calling in Christ. You have, believer this morning, brother and sister in Christ, you have a purpose in Christ. If you're a mum or a parent or a dad, whatever, of young children, that's your little church. Luther would call his family my little church. What an amazing blessing to have those young lives to shape and share Jesus with. Or maybe you've not been blessed that way and you could be a spiritual parent like Paul was to Timothy. Or a spiritual grandparent, someone looking around. But Timothy, you have a purpose. God has designed for you in his providence and grace. And Paul reminds Timothy of his of God's dual purpose for him in verse 9. Did you see it there? He has saved us and called us to a holy life. Did you hear that? He didn't say, Timothy, the Lord has saved us. We're part of his people now. He has saved us and called us to a holy life. Timothy, you haven't just been called from something, you've been called to something. What's your calling this morning, Christian? brother and sister in Christ? What's your calling? If you're a Christ follower today, Lord, what is that thing? And it may not be at all in this building. It may be. There's always opportunities. It might be where God has placed you. It starts with that dynamic understanding of a need for forgiveness and repentance. And then he calls us, he saved us and called us to a holy life. You haven't just been called from something, Timothy. You've been called to something. Saved to a life of allegiance. And guess what? It's all of his work. Not because of anything, verse 9b, second part. Not because of anything we have done. Isn't God amazing? I can't believe that 16 years old, if you'd have known me then, you wouldn't have believed it either. I can't believe, and I'll say this, that God, and I've said it before, could be bothered to save a scumbag like me. And I was. When I was 9 years old, I told you before, I borrowed my first car. I took it back. And there's stuff in your life that actually you might not be so proud about. And I'm not glorifying that. But the Lord called me out from that. This life on an estate in the north of England. To serve him. And to declare his grace and majesty and love. And do you know what's amazing about this, Keith? Do you know what's amazing about this, Timothy, God's plan? For all, anyone here, do you know what was amazing about God's plan? Three things. You'll see it on the screen. It was fashioned in eternity. It was worked out in history. And it will be rewarded in glory. Thank you. If you think God was amazing when he came in this morning, this makes God amazing. This just to me, when I read this week and I just saw this connection, I was absolutely gobsmacked. It was fashioned in eternity. It's actually verse 9c, the last part of verse 9. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Work it out. Just get your head around that now. Before the beginning of time, God saw you. And he chose you. And he set you aside. And his grace and mercy has called you for a purpose. Before the beginning of time. Before the first tick on any earthly clock. For anything. It was fashioned in eternity. Your life in Christ is not a mistake. Your life on this planet is not a mistake. Whether you were adopted, whether you were a product of a difficult relationship, whatever you are, your life in Christ, it was never a mistake. You were fashioned in eternity. Isn't that great? You feel special? I do. How God just trawled me out of this. I had a loving family, but how did he kind of think that? I wouldn't think that. I'd choose nice people like you. And it's not only was it fashioned in eternity, it was worked out in history. Let me just quickly read verse 10. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You're doing really well. So Timothy, you can be sure you can step out in the power of God. Because it's not only worked out in history through the finish. It's not only worked out in eternity, but it's worked out in history through the finished work of Christ. Christ, God himself, the Logos, came and stepped into history in that time and became flesh and dwelt among us. It was worked out in history. My salvation, God himself bothered enough to come and do what I could never do on that cross. Timothy, this is a loaded plan. Not only worked out in history through the finished work of Christ, but it's still being worked out in history now as God passes the baton on to faithful men and women and young people. Verse 11. And so of this gospel, says Paul, I was appointed a herald, a proclaimer, an apostle, a sent one, and a teacher. I was appointed. God saw us, Timothy. Isn't this incredible that he saw us, a chief of sinners like me, as Paul was, someone who persecuted the church. He saw me before the beginning of time, and you, Timothy, there in Lystra, with all of the paganism of your Greek dad and all of that household. He saw you, and he worked it out in eternity, and it's been worked out in history. He stepped in and was the first fruit, that payment that we might now in history work out in real time. What a glorious gospel we have. And Timothy, this gospel and your salvation and service was not only fashioned in eternity, not only worked out in history, but will be rewarded in glory. This is amazing. Second part of 12. Yet this is no cause for shame why I'm suffering, because I know whom I believed. I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. And all of this, and all of our strivings, and physical hurts, and emotional hurts, and the journey will be over. But Timothy, I hope that encourages you to keep practicing, because the end game is good. He's got you. He had you before you were born. He certainly had you since you were born. And he's got you in glory. He's amazing. Put that amazing legacy into practice, Timothy. The band are going to come and we're going to sing. Paul says, we have a reason to serve, a legacy of faith. We have the power to serve, the Spirit of God who enables us, and the calling to serve, fashioned in eternity, worked out in the here and now in history, and rewarded in glory. Who's encouraged? I'm encouraged, honestly. It is amazing. Shall we pray together? Let us pray. And just ask for the Spirit of God to speak to us now as we come together in a response in worshiping song. Heavenly Father, it's incredible that you knew us before the foundation of the world, that you've chosen us, you've worked in our lives. We love you because you first loved us. And thank you for our great salvation and our great service of allegiance to you, which was fashioned in eternity, worked out in history in the here and now, and will be rewarded in glory. Holy Spirit, help me to keep on keeping on for you. Help me to see the big picture, and with Caleb say, I might be this age, but I'm going to cling on to God's promises and get on with it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd love to pray with you. If there's something that's niggling, you're still seeking your gift. It might not be an instant prayer and answer. It's something we need to keep wrestling with. But don't leave here today without that prayer. God bless you. It's wonderful you're here today. I pray you've been blessed and encouraged. Let's respond now in only the way that we can as we stand together and we worship. Bless you.
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.